Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
Just in case we've not met before, my name's Peter. I'm a member of the congregation here at St. Thomas's and St. Nicholas's, but I work for the diocese. So sometimes I get wheeled out for things. So it's really great to be here this morning. My job in the diocese is to help people who are thinking that God might be calling them to some form of Christian service. And I have the really exciting task of journeying with them as they discover all that God has for them. Why don't we just take a moment of quiet and just think, what's God got for us? What words has he got for us this morning? Let's just take a moment to be quiet. Lord God, we thank you that you speak to us when our ears are open to listen. So we pray, Father, that through my words, through the words of Scripture, the words of our hymns and service, Lord, that you would speak truth that we can take home. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder if you've ever been to a place that's just so beautiful that it has wowed you, that you are completely bowled over with it. I remember two such places. The one, a number of years ago, Rosalie, my wife and I and our family, we went to Normandy and we visited one of the amazing cemeteries that are there, and just the sight of all the white crosses and headstones, it completely wowed me. And then the other place, it happened this summer. Some of you might know that I went to Germany to see the very famous Oberammergau Passion play. And we stayed in a hotel in Austria. And when we were shown into our room, the end of the room was just these glass doors. And it looked out up the valley. It just seemed to go on and on. It was so wonderful. It completely wowed us. Well, the temple in Jerusalem, which is the setting for our reading from Luke that Neville brought to us this morning, was a place that wowed its visitors. The whole complex probably took maybe 40 years to build. It was enormous. It had gold and precious stones, and it was vast in size. And no expense had been spared in its construction. It was simply magnificent. And yet, at the beginning of our reading, Jesus seems to say, well, actually, that is not impressive. And he told his audience that actually someday that magnificent building, so strong, would be nothing. It would just be rubble, because he was looking into the future and could see a time when that and the city was destroyed. Now, I doubt many people believed him at the time. I suppose if I said to you, look at this lovely building, it's been here for how many years, Max?
12th century.
Well, whatever, my maths isn't very good. Been here a long time. But do you know what? In 5 years, it will be rubble. You know, I could see the shutters have come down on you already. And I suspect the same would have been with Jesus. He said all of this magnificent temple would be gone. And yet, in AD 70, a Roman general called Titus, along with 80,000 troops, began a siege in Jerusalem. And Jesus had foretold this, and elsewhere in the Bible, he'd warned people, look, when that comes, flee to the mountains. But in AD 70, they either didn't remember or they ignored the advice, and they flocked to the city of Jerusalem, and they barricaded themselves in what they thought were walls that would keep out everybody. But the siege went on, and eventually the troops got in, and Titus the general ordered that everything in Jerusalem, its walls, the temple, everything, was to be razed to the ground. I wonder if the people then looked back. I wonder if they remembered Jesus' words. I have to say that when Max sent me the readings for this morning, my first reaction was, What odd readings for Remembrance Sunday. Did you think that, you know, the first one about people have got to earn their living or they won't eat? Do you think, oh, great, it's Remembrance Sunday? I suspect you didn't. And the same with the second one, because the second reading wasn't about looking back. It was about Jesus looking at the future. But as I've been thinking about it, I've realised that actually the past, the present, and the future are really, really important places for human beings. Every year in the middle of November, we take a time to look back, don't we? We look back at those and we remember those who have given their lives for our and other countries. And we do that because we think it's important that we learn from the past so that the same mistakes our forebears made are not repeated. Well, that's the theory, isn't it? Somebody, an American poet called George Santanea, once said, "Those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it." Now, Jesus often talked about the past, and as he did that, he pointed his disciples to the God who was faithful in the past, and he would be faithful in the present, and therefore they could trust him into the future. But here in the reading that we had this morning from Luke 21, Jesus really only speaks about the future. And he talks about a future when the world will come to an end. And in fact, we call this teaching, we call it the end times teaching. And we don't hear about it very often in church. And I clearly think that the people who listened to Jesus didn't think about it very often either. Because when he raised the topic, there were floods of questions. You always know when you've hit the right note, don't you? When people ask you questions. If you're telling someone about your holiday and they ask you questions, you know that they're interested. If they glaze over when you show the photos, it's time to go on to the coffee. But clearly, people were really, really enamoured about the future, to listen to what Jesus had to say. What will it look like, they asked him? What will happen? Will there be any sort of signs that will point us that the end of the world is coming? And Jesus lists some of them. He says, well, there will be false prophets and false messiahs. There'll be wars and uprisings. There'll be natural disasters. There will be plagues. There will be signs from the heavens and there will be persecutions. Do you think we're living in the end times? You see, there are certain Christians around the world who seem to spend an inordinate amount of time thinking about the end times and looking for these signs. But actually, you and I, if we even know a little bit of our history, we know that some of these things, all of these things, happen all the time, all around the world. False messiahs. Well, you might think Donald Trump. You might not think Donald Trump. But you know, we have our own British false messiahs too. Who remembers David Icke? Who's old enough to have watched the Wogan programme and cringed? If you're too young to remember, there are some of the old people. It was awful. He claimed to be the messiah. Dreadful. Wars and uprisings. Do you know, we only have had to have been in our church service for 2 minutes to have heard the wars that we're remembering. And as Max added at the end, the Ukraine. The list goes on and on. Natural disasters. Do you know, in 2022 alone, we've had Florida's Hurricane Ian. We've had a drought in our country. We've had Europe heat waves. We've had monsoon flooding in Pakistan. And I'm sure the people who are at the COP27 will tell us that these things are only going to get more prevalent unless we change our ways as the human race. Natural disasters. Plagues. I'm just going to say COVID and I'm moving on. Persecution. Do you know what? Surprising as it is, more Christians are persecuted now in the present than at any other time in the past. And other people in our communities are persecuted because of the colour of their skin or their faith, or just because they're different. All of these things are all around. And we've been living in the end times for a very long time. So with all these signs around, how can we make sense of what Jesus says in Luke 21? Well, we could just look to the past and ignore the future. And in a way, it's quite nice living in the past, because the past was such a lovely time, wasn't it? Was it? No, it wasn't. Remembrance Sunday is a really, really important festival in the life, not just of the church, but of our nation. It's really, really important that we look to the past so that we can learn from it in the present and the future. And the other extreme is we can be really obsessed with the future and actually miss out what's going on in the present. And I think Jesus knew that people could get a bit skewed when he talked about the future and the end times. And he gives two really good pieces of advice that I'd like us to think about this morning, particularly as we leave church and go about our lives. The first bit of advice he says in Luke 21 is, don't be deceived. And he says this in some of the other pieces in the Gospels as well. He's really clear that one day the world will come to an end. The present is temporary. Actually, I can prove that because the words I just said, the present is temporary, are already in the past. The present is only here now. And then it's gone. But Jesus was really clear that one day he will come again. No one knows when it's going to happen. And that means the present is really, really important to us. So don't be deceived by what other people say, by false messiahs, religious sects, vicars, whatever, who claim to have special knowledge about this. None of us know about the future. But the present is really, really important. In fact, somebody said the present is called the present because it's a gift. Have you heard that before? The present is only the present because it's a gift. I believe a gift from God for us to make a difference and to do some really, really important things. And so we need to make the most of the present, particularly if we're people of faith, because Jesus has given us gifts and talents to serve him, to serve other people. Are you doing that? Are you making the most of the present? And if you're not, what needs to change in your life? The second bit of advice Jesus gave was this: do not worry. Do not be afraid about what lies ahead. Jesus is looking to the future and he says, when you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. And why does he say, why can he say, do not worry, do not be afraid? And he can say that because he knew that he would be with us to the end of the age. It's what it says at the end of Matthew's Gospel. Jesus is with us now. By his Holy Spirit, he's here with us in this building. He will be here with us when we go about whatever we're doing after the service. He will be with us always. And that's why we need not be afraid, because we are not alone. Do you believe that? If you're not sure, I'd love to have a conversation with you over coffee. I've heard it all before. Nothing you could tell me would shock me. But I'd really love you to know that you don't have to be worried about the future when you put your trust and your faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus is with us. He comforts us. He sustains us. He empowers us for the present and for whatever the future holds. And he gave us two really important rules to govern life and our society. And they were, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second was, love your neighbour as yourself. Jesus' love for us, our love for him, and our love for other people. Well, those are the really important, permanent things. Everything else is just temporary. So as I draw to a close, by all means, let's look at the past. Let's remember the past. It's an important part of today. But let's do so that we can learn from it in the present and as we go forward into the future. And by all means, let's look to the future. I've been doing some retirement planning recently. Because you never know, I might retire one day. But let's not be frightened by what the future holds. We don't need to be, because Jesus is holding us in the palm of his hands. And let's live for Jesus in the present, the gift that God gives to us, making the most of every single opportunity of growing God's kingdom that we can. Can we take just a moment as we move on in our service? I mean, you might like to close your eyes. And if you know that Jesus is with you, give thanks to him. If you're not sure, just ask him to come and reassure you that he is with you. God, our Father, thank you for the past, for the present, and for the future. We pray, Lord, that we might be people who look back in order to learn, that we use the present in order to serve others, and we look ahead to the future, a time when you will come again and renew the face of the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.